Hello, and welcome back to the 2025 Vulnerability Matters Summer Lecture Series. This summer, our speaker is Dr. Elizabeth Blakelock. A familiar name to many, Elizabeth has been at the forefront of inclusion and vulnerability work in essential services for over a decade. In her first lecture on the Inclusion Blueprint, Elizabeth explored the world of inclusion allies and how connection and common cause are key. And in her second talk, she went further into the depths of inclusion, fairness, and equity to discover how these can reveal hidden foreseeable harms and the actions needed to prevent them. Today, in her final lecture, Elizabeth considers listening and how different ways of listening can create the conditions for connection, harm prevention, and inclusive organisations.
We're going to think about listening at every level, because listening isn't just part of the work, it is the work. We need to begin by listening to the experiences of the people we're supposed to be supporting. Not talking, not planning, listening. If we don't start with listening, how on earth are we going to draw out the perspectives that we need, particularly when we're thinking about vulnerability, particularly when we're asking for some of the most sensitive experiences, some of the most difficult times that someone will ever face? We want them to share that with us so we can do the work we need to do. Must start with listening. So next we'll explore why we can't treat listening as an optional extra and what we can learn from the world of inclusion about how to listen well. So let's get started. We can't treat listening as optional because without listening we can't build the trust that we need. We need trust to be able to draw out perspectives from the people that we're supporting. Whether that is being trustworthy in the way that we are talking about our work out in the public domain, or in a focus group in a small room. We need to build that trust. And we won't know how we can be trustworthy unless we're listening to people explain. How is it that we can be acting, that we can be working in a way that builds trust, that gives us that credibility, yes, with customers, but also with our colleagues and with policymakers and regulators. In essential services, energy, water, financial services, UK regulators across the board, they've been really clear, meaningful engagement with customers isn't a nice to have, it's an expectation. We cannot hope to have that meaningful engagement without a level of trust. And to gain that trust, we need to be exceptionally good at listening. What happens when we don't listen? When an organisation doesn't listen? They miss warning signs in customer feedback, particularly in complaints. They fall out of step with public expectations, and they risk serious reputational consequences. What can this look like if it goes wrong? Well, prominent in my own work around listening is a particularly high profile moment in my own career, as I watched a CEO in front of a panel of MPs at a committee. Now, at that point, the CEO had not engaged with the world of inclusion, was not monitoring fairness, inclusion, or diversity, so was out of step with what was expected in terms of the way that people in their industry were conducting themselves. What they were conducting themselves in a way that many saw as deeply unfair. And you could hear that in the questioning from the MPs. They also hadn't asked those really important questions about diversity. So they had no insight into the fact that it was the people that the MPs cared about most, people who faced the highest barriers, that were not being tracked, monitored. There was big gaps in understanding of their experiences of the market that the CEO was there to talk about. So this CEO gave this panel of MPs a very firm reassurance about the topic that they were grilling them on, that there was not an issue, nothing to see here. And those were not reassurances plucked out of the air. They were based on data sets which had been used for many years that suggested that the problem that the MPs saw was completely proportionate with what was going on in the broader market. There was no lived experience listened to when it came to making that reassurance. And less than 24 hours after that CEO made that reassurance, there was a major press expose about exactly the problem that they had told MPs on television in front of us all didn't exist. And we all watched as these journalists brought to life in a very emotive and difficult way to watch the challenges that were being faced. And why did that CEO not know about that? Why did they not take it seriously enough? Because they hadn't listened. So how can we avoid that mistake? How can we do the listening that we need to understand what is actually going on? Well, I found the World of Inclusion has a model around three levels of listening that have been incredibly useful for me to understand how to listen well, how to go beyond the surveys and feedback forms that I do use and find very useful, but how to go beyond that to something deeper and more systemic. I've started to rely on this three level of listening approach. First level, operational; second level, experiential; and third level, systemic. Let's start with operational listening. When we're thinking about operational listening, we're listening for things about usability, clarity of information, and what you'll find often when we're in this operational listening phase is you can ask closed questions with a yes or a no answer. Does this work? Can you do X? Now, the trouble with that kind of operational listening is that it can be lead you to relatively checkbox styles of engagement. And it's important that we do it. It's great that we have those clear binaries of yes, no. I work in accessibility. I absolutely need to know, does the screen reader work on the phone for this experience? Yes or no. But the risk comes when the majority of the way that we're listening is very operational. It's very focused. And it assumes that a whole process or a whole system is working brilliantly because there hasn't been a long list of no's or maybe a long list of nesses in this checkbox. It's really important that we understand that when we're asking questions and only listening in an operational way, in a relatively shallow way, it can make absolute sense to us, but it's really unlikely to connect with that holistic, well-rounded life that that person is living. And if we don't understand that, then how on earth are we going to meet their needs and support them in the way that we want to do, and certainly in the way our regulators expect us to do? So we need to think beyond operational listening and think about experiential listening. Here we're thinking and listening far more about emotional resonance, about relevance. How does it feel to be interacting with our organisation? What does it feel like when you are using a particular product, when you're following a particular process? Now, we need to be careful, of course, with experiential listening, particularly when we're thinking about vulnerability. We can really risk re-traumatizing people if we are not careful about the way we are asking them to describe challenging times that they've faced. If we're not planning very carefully the way that we are drawing out experience, we're listening in that experiential way, we can't be unstructured or unsupportive when we are asking people to share such important but also such challenging information. But with deep empathy, we can create safe spaces for people to share those experiences, particularly if we're working with expert charities who have decades of experience in listening exactly in this way. And that deeper empathy, this experiential listening, can be so revolutionary for transforming services, for driving improvements that are so impactful. And by doing that experiential listening, we can protect against assuming anything really, but particularly in my experience, it can really challenge assumptions about the tone of communication and the intention of what a firm is actually doing, making sure the intention behind reaching out to a customer, providing something in a particular format or not sending a reminder, actually matches what the customer is expecting from you. What about that third level of listening, systemic? This is a level of listening that gives you the chance to think about patterns of exclusion and power imbalances, to genuinely take the wider view of someone's experiences, not only in that narrow usability sense, not only in that broader thinking about the emotions, but still while someone is using a particular product in a particular moment, but much more big picture. Now, entering this space can be really challenging. Yes, we can say we're going to commit to systemic listening, but it can be really tough to actually act on what we hear. If a market works in a certain way, and we hear again and again about how that market excludes, it can be much more difficult to act on what we've heard. And when you're doing systemic listening, you're far more likely to hear about the interaction, the overlaying challenges, the complexity and scale of someone's challenge. But of course, it's those systemic exclusions which impact so significantly on the customers that we're trying to support. Long-term transformation, vulnerability strategies that span many years, those do give the opportunity to really get to grips and close gaps around those big exclusions, around the poor patterns that we see, to give us the chance to think about those power imbalances and how we can create systems of accountability to challenge the way that broader power might be shutting down people from sharing something very important about the way that we're acting. The trouble with ignoring these big questions, as challenging as they are, is that if we're not taking seriously the context that someone is in, the way that other markets, other firms, other brands are impacting them, we can mistake our internal view, including internal metrics, internal measures, for real world outcomes. Inclusive community organizing traditions have long understood the differences between these three listening levels and the importance of all of them. So it's important to remember that their primary method is one-to-one conversations. Not to extract information as a one-off, but to build long-term relationships to understand, to build trust, to allow them to have those deeper conversations, to map out the challenges that people are facing and genuinely prepare for transformational change. And we can learn a great deal from that. Each level of listening is going to reveal something different. And when we commit to all three, we can stop relying solely on internal expertise and start building real understanding of people's lived experiences. So what might that look like in practice in your everyday? What might it look like to embed three levels of listening in your role wherever you sit? Well, if you get to think about vulnerability all the time, maybe a vulnerability lead, it might mean thinking about creating safer ways for customers to disclose and ensure that what's shared is acted upon in a really transparent way. if you think about someone might tell you operationally, they're finding it difficult to disclose because a certain system isn't available or a certain channel has got more barriers to disclosure. But an experiential listening lens can help you understand how the emotions of shame can make it even more difficult to share an experience. We still live in a society where mental health challenges and many other types of vulnerability are really connected to that sense of shame. So without that experiential listening, you won't be able to take that into account. And systemic? Well, if you're not understanding the way that people are facing systemic disability barriers, for example, then you cannot assume that your best intentions around disclosure are going to be taken seriously. If you do take seriously doing systemic listening, you're far more likely to make more reassurances around the safety of that data and the transparency of way it's being used, because you can acknowledge the way that sharing a vulnerability in other sectors, other areas of your life can lead to negative outcomes. So if you've done the three levels, including the systemic, you might do much more in around that reassurance. What about a research team or researcher? Well, if you're doing research, then these three levels of listening hopefully aren't entirely new to you, specifically the difference between the operational and the experiential. But here you might want to think much more carefully about building relationships on an ongoing ongoing way with communities or with charities that represent them, not just gathering data. It might mean slowing down sometimes and asking deeper questions, giving people the space to say what they think about a broader organisation or a broader industry, even if you are trying to have even if you do need a relatively narrow bit of feedback on the usability of a feature. Think about how you might make that space to be able to have those deeper, more holistic conversations in your research. And what about cross-functional teams? Well, it means making listening a shared responsibility. We will see different parts of a customer journey. We will understand people in very different ways depending on the roles that we're living and breathing. So sharing insights widely becomes vital so that we can act on feedback together. Ensuring clear access to stories of customers like organisation-wide events is absolutely key here. Now, if you want to go into a bit more detail in how you can bring lived experience and the outcomes of your fabulous listening to your organisation at large, then the Vulnerability Academy for the Money Advice Trust is an absolutely exceptional way to do that. But remember, we've also got the movement on LinkedIn around vulnerability, another great source of insight about how to do this detailed, important listening, and then how to act on it to make things better for the people that we care about. The call from disability campaigners is nothing about us without us. And that's a great rule of thumb for all of our vulnerability work that comes from the world of inclusion. When we want to deliver great outcomes, we need to be making space for all three levels of listening: operational, experiential, and systemic, so that we can engage deeply in interactions that will allow us to understand fully people's experiences. And only then can we genuinely say that we are standing side by side with people and can say that we have responded to that call of nothing about us without us. So for me, listening isn't a warm-up act for the real work. It is the real work. It's how we make sure we can earn trust, understand what our customers need, and start to get to grips with the holistic view of people's lives. It's only with this enduring commitment to listening that we can build the relationships of trust that give us any chance of including our customers in the development of tools, features, products, and services. And without including those people, we won't be able to support our customers through the ups and downs of their lives. Thank you for listening to me as I've talked about the three ways that inclusion work has been so impactful for me. that way of connecting with inclusion allies, particularly internally with a focus on employee support groups. How concepts have helped me manage and monitor outcomes, those concepts like equity and fairness, diversity and so on, to help us measure and improve the outcomes that matter most. And that powerful skill of listening to deliver those great outcomes. That brings us to the end of my time sharing the insights with you, and I can hand you back to Chris and the team. So thank you for listening, and remember, understanding inclusion deepens the impact of our response to vulnerability, and vulnerability matters.
You've been listening to Dr. Elizabeth Blakelock giving her final lecture on the Inclusion Blueprint. You can listen again to any of the lectures in the series, as well as download or share them with colleagues wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've enjoyed our lecture series, you can find our other bite-sized episodes on consumer vulnerability by simply searching for Vulnerability Matters.